I pray your blessing on everyone here this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 32 we're going to be looking at this morning. We've been following the ups and downs of Jacob, haven't we? And this is Jacob. He's come back from his father-in-law, uncle, and he's arrived in what's now the north of Israel, the hill country of Gilead, and it's a fresh start, new beginning for him. Would you like a new beginning? Already have one. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, there's always room for another blessing as well, isn't there? And we'll see what happens to Jacob today. It's really quite something very special. And it's something special that can be our experience too. So we're going to follow Jacob on his journey. So let's see our next picture, please. Right. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." And so he named that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim means two camps. That's what he called the place. And he had this vision. He saw two groups of angels. Different people think they were either on his right or his left or in front and behind. Whatever they were angels around. And when he arrived in the land, his homeland, he could say, and angels meet him. What kind of greeting is that to have?
Wonderful.
It looks good, doesn't it? Things are looking good. When angels come to meet you, you're on to a good thing, yes? So Jacob, he calls the place Mahanaim to remind himself that's where he saw the angels. We'll see that Jacob does that quite often, and it's something that I don't do, I'm afraid. I forget more than I remember. But Jacob made an effort to try to remember things, and so he gave names to places and things like that. And so he wants to remind himself this is where he met the angels. That's an encouraging start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things are looking good.
Yeah.
How long does that last for?
Not long.
Oh, you're a pessimist. That's what you are, yes. All right, anyway, let's see what happens. Next, please. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now, Jacob and Esau, twin brothers, there have been some problems, as we remember. But Esau had left what is now Israel, and gone to live on the other side, which is now Jordan. It's called Edom in their time. And he was living over there. It was a fairly rough type of place, but he obviously liked being there. And that was Esau's place, in the country of Edom. That was his other name. So Jacob knows he's got to meet him sometime, so he sends messengers to tell him he's coming. That's good, eh? Let him know you're coming. You don't just turn up on somebody's door, do you? Well, you might do it. Yeah, you can do. Some people do like that, you know. Anyway. Malawians do that all the time, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
All the time, that's okay, yeah? Fine, no problem. But he sent messengers, because he wants to let Esau know he's coming. Next slide, please. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau." Notice, he's in grovel mode, you know, because there's been some unfortunate dealings with his brother before, so he's keeping himself humble. Good to be humble, brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
I think he overdoes it a bit, but you'll see, yeah? "Tell my master Esau, say, your servant Jacob says, I've been staying with Laban and have remained there till now." That was 20 years, yeah? "I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maid servants. Now I'm sending this message to my lord, notice, that I may find favour in your eyes." So that's the message that the servants are going to tell Esau. Your brother's coming, he's got a packet. He doesn't need anything, he's well off, yeah? He wants to be respectful, that's the thing. But notice how he puts it. "I've been staying with Laban and remained there till now." Know what he leaves out and how he came to be with... You know how he came to be with Laban? He was on the run from his brother who was threatening to kill him. So we won't remind him of that, you know. We'll just let that go. Don't bring up the old stuff, you know. Just tell him, "I'm coming back. Nice to see you. And to see you now." That's right, yes. Okay, next please. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." What would you think if you heard that? You think there's going to be a fight?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he thought. There wasn't, but that's what he thought. Next one, please, yes? Right. In great fear and distress, you didn't believe him, it was great fear and distress. Why is he frightened? It's a guilty conscience, you know, he had done cheating his brother. And so, and his brother, the last time he saw his brother, he was threatening to kill him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a bit worried, fear and distress. But the thing is interesting is that, if you know how the story turns out, Esau wasn't coming to duck him up at all.
Oh, no.
It was a welcoming party. Yeah. I think Esau was just showing how impressive he was. You know, Jacob could say he's got all these sheep, goats and everything else. Yeah. Well, Esau could say, look at my lads here, see? It's not, maybe that was part of it. But why didn't God tell Jacob that Esau was coming, friendly? Why didn't God tell him? He's going to learn something, yes. God allows, brothers and sisters, this is interesting. God allows things into your life that might not seem pleasant because he's got something to teach you out of it. There's a learning process coming on. Jacob's going to experience something that is really life-changing. And God has to prepare him for that. And if frightening him out of his little mind has to do that, well, fair enough. But I want to encourage you, because you're believers in Jesus, yeah?
Yeah.
And Jesus knows, you know Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, here's a verse by a man called William Cowper. Have you heard of William Cowper? A poet, some years ago, many centuries ago now. And his hymn was, "Sometimes the light surprises the Christian while he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings." That's the verse, that's the song. But in this verse, in there, there's a verse, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head." Mm. Hey?
Yeah.
It looks so dark. But he said, it looks so dark because the rain clouds are coming.
Yeah.
And you need the rain.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
"Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head." But you need a positive attitude to that.
Yeah.
If you look at the clouds and think, oh,
yeah.
As opposed to, ah! Yes, you've got to be our people, alright? Next one, please. "In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels as well. He thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, that group, is the group that is left, may escape." So he's figuring out how to minimize his losses. Yeah. Split the groups, so if one gets nabbed, then the other might get away. He's a wily coyote, is our Jacob, isn't he? As you'll see. Next slide, please. Yeah? Right. "Then Jacob prayed." How about that?
Wow.
At last! You see, what is God wanting him to do? Relationship. Come to God more. Get to know God more. Right? And praying is one of those. Yeah? He prayed at last. When he's tried everything else, he prays. Do you do that? Occasionally. Too often, I would like to suggest. Yeah. When all else fails, pray. And I'll tell you why all else does fail, because you didn't pray to start with. Yes! You're getting it. Okay. Jacob, he prays. Well, we're going to see his prayer. This actually is the first recorded prayer in the Bible. There's a little passage in Genesis chapter 4 verse 26. It says, "At that time men began to call on the name of the Lord." They were praying, obviously, yes? But it doesn't tell us what they prayed. And I'm sure other people prayed before then, but this is the first recorded prayer, and there's some good lessons in this prayer. So let's have a look, please. We'll read it all, and then we'll take it to bits. "Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown to your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan. But now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted." So that's his prayer. And it contains some really important lessons for us when we come to pray as well. So let's see what it does. Next, please. Yeah? It's a powerful prayer. He starts with, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me." Well, he's quoting how God had dealt with his father and his grandfather, but he knows that God was in a relationship with his father and grandfather, And now he's saying, oh Lord, he's his Lord as well, of course. And he's calling on this God in what we call covenant relationship. He's got a relationship with God. God wants it to go deeper, of course. But he's calling on this God that he knows is a God who has provided and cared for his ancestors already. Yeah? Then he says, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. What is he doing there? He's playing back to God what God's already told him as a promise. And the old writers call it pleading the promises. Get a promise from the Bible and say, God, you said it, will you do it for me? Yeah? God commits himself to fulfilling his word. That's what Jacob's doing. He's saying, God, you said, will you do it please? And then he goes on to this next little bit. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. He's beginning to realize that God blessed him in spite of him. You don't deserve the blessings. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you tot up your good stuff against your bad stuff, most of us will think we've got plenty of good, won't we? Mm-hmm. But your waiting on the good stuff isn't quite God's waiting on the good stuff, and your waiting on the bad stuff is definitely less than God's waiting. So it's more like that, the other way around. But he reckons, I'm unworthy. I don't deserve your blessing. Is that true?
Yes.
He doesn't deserve it. Now let's apply it to us. When you go to God and say, God, I'd like you to do this for me because I've been so nice. I've said my prayers. I've done my stuff. Is that what you say?
No.
I hope not.
No.
Because God isn't listening to that.
No.
Yeah. I'm unworthy. Lord, I don't deserve. And it's true. And you can say that with a glad heart. I mean, he feels, you know, he isn't worthy. He recognises that. But dear friends, I've said it before, I'll say it again. There are times when I sit in my conservatory, under my own vine, the grapes are coming now, and the sun's shining, the garden's beautiful, the birds are singing, we even got a squirrel the other day. You know, all rather nice, and I'm sitting there and I think, Lord, I don't deserve this. And I've not heard a voice, but I can hear that voice in my head saying, I know, but enjoy it, I've given it to you. Yeah, I'm not worthy, Lord. That's what Jacob's saying. I'm not. And we aren't. Yeah? But he says that. So he recognises his confession. He's admitting he needs God's blessing. Yeah. And then he comes with this request. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Yes. Short and sweet. Help! That was Peter's prayer when he was going down in the water. Yes. You don't need long prayers. Just get to the point. Lord, I need help, please. Yes. Make sense. That's just a bit of his prayer. I'm afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with the children. Well, he's worried about himself, of course, but he does say about the mothers and the children. It's not just about him. And when we're praying for the needs of others, God's more likely to be listening, isn't he? So he's praying for the needs of others, and then he goes back to this, but you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. And what he's doing there is he's not praying about himself now. He's praying about the mothers and the children. He's saying, you know these children, Lord, you said you would multiply them to be like the sand of the sea. Well, if they're just going to get killed, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You promised to bless them. So he's pleading another promise. Yes. You promised to bless them, Lord. You said it, Lord. Will you do it? Mm-hmm. Good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you think God heard that prayer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Now then, let's see what happens next. He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau. Look at the numbers of these. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. That's not a bad gift, is it?
No.
That's enough to set your farm up. You know? Yeah, that's just a gift, I mean. He's not short, you can see that, yeah? Mm-hmm. He's going to make this big gift. But what's he doing? He's trying to pacify, buy him off.
Yeah.
Yes. He's what I've put back. He's back into Jacob. Pray. Yeah. Last thing he does is pray. But now he's prayed, oh, I'll have to do it myself now. Yeah. I'll sort this one out, Lord. I said, I did pray that you'd fix it, but I can do my bit, can't I? Well, I'll fix it instead. Yeah. Sort, you know, buy my brother off, that's the way. it's not going to work, you know. It doesn't, you know. Now, anyway, next week, yes? Well, right. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds. He instructed the one in the lead, when my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong and where are you going? And who owns all these animals in front of you? Then you are to say to him, they belong to your servant, Jacob. They are the gift sent to my lord, Esau, and he is coming behind us. He also instructed the second and the third and all the others who followed the herds. You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. It's Christmas all over, isn't it? They must admire these things, you know. One present, then next present, then next thing, piling it on, isn't he? That's his little plan, yeah? Keep saying, you know, he's coming, but this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. He's trying to soften him. Yeah, we know that, because what he says next, please, yeah? And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. So Jacob's gifts went ahead of him, and he himself spent the night in the camp. You notice, interesting, that word perhaps. When you've done all that you can do, all you're left with is maybe, maybe not. Yeah. There's no assurance at all. If God makes a promise, you bank it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're doing it yourself, no. DIY, you can't guarantee.
No.
Oh, well, maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. Anyway, let's see what happens. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And after he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So this is the river where he's at, the river Jabbok. It's on the... moving down towards Edom here, and he sends them over, they go first, right? And this is actually a picture of the place, right? Quite scenic, isn't it, really? So they cross over there, and he sends it all over. And then, next one please. So Jacob was left alone. How about that? This is what it's all about. At last, God has got Jacob on his own. Isn't it interesting how we fill our lives with stuff, activities? I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself as well, you know. Where's room for the Lord in all of this stuff, you know? If you're a very active person, you know, you can always think of something else to do, can't you? Well, Jacob, I've got you on the own at last. Right. So we can start having some interaction now, can't we? So what's the interaction? Good fun. Let's have a look next, please. A man wrestled with him till daybreak. He's there on his own and somebody turns up and starts wrestling with him. All day! All night, sorry. All night long, someone's wrestling with him, right? Who is the mysterious man? Well, we see later on, he's described as an angel. And he's also described as God.
Yeah,
we know who he is, don't we?
Yeah.
Jacob doesn't know, but, you know, he's wrestling with this person. And this person is wrestling with him. And all night long, why all night long? What's going on?
Couldn't sleep, conscience.
Couldn't sleep, it wouldn't let him sleep. Conscience perhaps as well, but God's dealing with him.
Yeah.
There are things in his life, things about Jacob that God's got to deal with. And sometimes that takes a long time. You know, it'd be lovely if I could get a magic wand and go ping over you and everything's sorted. Doesn't work like that though, does it? And God doesn't want it to work like that. Because in the process of going through the difficulties, you learn and you grow. Yes? And so all night long, Jacob is wrestling with this person, and God's sorting him out. That's really what's going on. God is sorting him out. And that's needed. If Jacob is going to move on, things need to change. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? Things need to change. Now, I'm not trying to beat you with a whip. Things are going to change for the better. That's what I'm getting at. It's not going to be worse. It's going to be better. Although, you might have to wrestle to get there. Let's see what happens next. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Yeah, so they're struggling away there, right? And Jacob, he keeps holding on, and it says the man just touched his hip. dislocated his hip. How about that?
Painful.
It's powerful too.
Yeah.
I mean, if I went and touched you with my finger, right, nothing would happen, would it? I mean, you feel me finger, but that's all, yeah? He touched his hip and dislocated it. Does that tell you that this person's got some power?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it says, yeah? So, it contrasts with what the man couldn't do. He couldn't shake him off, but he could disable him.
Yeah.
Right, so, there's something unusual about this person. Yeah. Now, next slide, please. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he says, "Let me go, it's daybreak, job done." Yeah? You've got things to do, Jacob. Morning's coming, you know.
Yeah.
That's part of it, I think, that's going on there. "Let me go, because it's daybreak." And he says, "I won't let you go unless you bless me. I won't let you go unless you bless me." Well, that's strange, isn't it? What he discovered during this night of wrestling is that this person has the power to bless him. Yeah, he's beginning to learn it, yes? Right? And I just want to read, we have the explanation in the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea goes back to this account. "In the womb he grasped his brother's heel." That was him, got his name Jacob, yeah? "As a man he struggled with God." So his God is fighting, yes? "He struggled with the angel." It's an angel. Why do we call the angel God? It's the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is Jesus before Jesus became a man. Yes, right. So, it's the Lord himself, yeah? So, he struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favour. That's interesting. The angel can go like that and he's a goner. And yet he said he struggled with the angel and overcame him. How did he overcome the angel? What was it in Jacob that helped him to overcome the most powerful angel in the universe?
I recognised him and then
faith. He believed that he was able to bless him.
Yeah.
And God looks for faith. In Hebrews he says it is without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, Jacob believed God could bless him. And so God is pleased. And he says, "I'll bless you ultimately then." But Jacob, that's what Jacob wants to be blessed, because he believes that God has made promises to him. That's good. For all that was wrong with Jacob, that was inside that really counted. God wants to bring that out. And Peter talks about it in his letter. He says, you know, you're going through terrible trials at the moment. Things that are really tough and difficult in your life. And he says, you can still rejoice in those things, because your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, will come out purified. The more you realise that God helps you, the more you can trust him. So, he's here struggling with the Lord, and Jacob wants to be blessed. He says, "I'm not letting you go, Lord, until you bless me." And he said, he pleaded, he wept and begged for his favour. That's no way to fight, is it? Eh? Do you struggle by weeping and pleading? Well, you do with prayer. You do in faith. Yeah. "Lord, Lord, I need your blessing." That's what he's doing. Next then, please. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Well, did you think the Lord knew his name?
Yeah.
I certainly knew his name. So why did he ask a silly question like that? Because it's not a silly question.
No.
"What is your name?" And he asked him, "What's your name?" And what does he say?
Jacob.
What does Jacob mean? Sorry? No, no. Jacob means grasper, cheat, conniver. Let's use another word. Sinner. "What's your name?" Jacob, he's really saying, "What are you, Jacob? What are you really?" And he says, "I'm a Jacob, a cheat, dishonest, a sinner." Yeah? What's God just done to him? He's got him to finally admit who he is. And there's none of us perfect. Believe me, none of us are perfect. We've all got, we could say, skeletons in the cupboard or whatever, yeah? Yeah? Thankfully, you're next to your cupboard. Because Jesus can clean it out. Yeah, praise the Lord. But there's none of us perfect. Nobody is. And when you see all these adverts saying that she's the perfect person, don't believe it. It's a load of baloney. There's nobody perfect. What's your name? Well, God's asking, what's your name? Well, I could say Dennis, but it's Dennis Sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my name. Yeah. What's your name? Jacob. Right, well, he's got him to face up to where he is. And that's a very difficult thing. It's not easy. God's had to squeeze it out of him. Yeah, because to ask a person, you know, what are you really like? We hide behind shields all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah? Yeah? When you're on your own with God, there's no hiding anymore. Jacob, what's your name?
Mm-hmm.
It's me, Lord. Old Jacob. You know old Jacob, don't you? Yes. Mm. Now, the next one, please. The man said to him, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you struggled with God and with men and have overcome. He's going to change his name. You're no longer Jacob. I'm going to call you Israel. What does Israel mean? Well, Israel means he struggled with God. Yeah. But he didn't just struggle with God, he won. His name is a focus on his faith. He believed God. So he's called Israel. Some translate it as Prince of God or Prince with God. But really the meaning is he struggled with God. Yeah. It's a good name to have, isn't it? A reminder of where your blessing comes from.
Yeah.
Let me take you somewhere. Where do you go to realize where your blessing comes from? And it's at Calvary. Where Jesus died on the cross, that's where your blessing comes from. Got to be. There's one place. Yeah. So, he has a new birth certificate now, can't he? He's a reborn man, we could call him. He's called Israel instead of Jacob. And what's the significance of the name changes in the Bible? The name changes because of what God has got for that person. Yeah? Right? Abraham was called Abram. Yeah? Abram means big daddy. Yeah? Abraham means father of many nations. It's got bigger. Right? Sarai was called Sarai, but she's now called Sarah, which means
princess.
Yes? Got the idea? Now Jacob, grasper, is now struggling with God and winning. Praise the Lord. So a new name means a new nature. That's what God has been doing in this chapter. He can, and brothers and sisters, that's the miracle. It's a miracle. God can change you on the inside. That's really where it matters.
Yes.
It's not the outside that counts in the end. It's what's on the inside. Yeah. Right, next time please. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. Well, he blessed him without knowing his name. How about that? Please tell me your name. Why did he want his name? I know. I'm sure I know. To say thank you. To remember again.
He'd been hungry.
Yeah. What's your name? Who are you? And, basically he says, why do you ask my name? It's not time. But he doesn't say it's not time, but that's what it means. It's not time to reveal his name. You know, the Bible is an interesting book in its own right. It doesn't tell you everything to start with. A bit like life, isn't it? Yeah? There's a little bit God shows, a bit more, and a bit more, and a bit more, until you get it all by the time you finish. Yeah? That's true of the name of God, of the Lord Jesus. Yeah? He starts out by just being this angel. Yeah? And then, 1,000+ years later, Isaiah, the prophet, he says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's his offices, the things that he does. And then he talks in verse 7, in chapter 7, he says, he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yeah? And then we get to Matthew, 2,000 years after Jacob, 2,000 years after Jacob met Jesus as the angel of the Lord, then Mary and Joseph hear from the angel, an angel, not the angel, because the angel is going to be born. And the angel says, call his name Jesus,
for he shall save
his people from their sins. Yes. Call his name Jesus. Jesus means Saviour. That's what it is. Yeah? Well, he didn't know the name, but yeah, I think he got the blessing, don't you? Yes, he did, yes. Next one, please. So he called the place Peniel. Peniel means face of God. I've got that, haven't I? Peniel means the face of God. Saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. How about that? Here's this sinful man, and God spares him. Why? Because he believed God. Faith allows you into God's presence because it brings you into contact with God's forgiveness. Wonderful. So he called the place Peniel. There's Peniel today. I don't think the bridge was there at the time. Yeah, but that's Peniel now. And he called the place Peniel. He's doing it all the time. Something to remember it by. So he calls the place Peniel. So we've got Mahanaim, two angel camps. We've got Peniel, where we met with the Lord. Bethel, he's met God in Bethel. He's going to meet God in Bethel again. House of God. He calls all these places different names to remind him of what God's done. Do you keep a little diary or something like that? I keep telling people, I never do it myself. Do what I tell you, don't do what I say, do what I do, yeah. But there's ways to remember. We take photos and selfies and stuff like that now, don't we? To try and remember the special moments. But we take so many that none of them special anymore, are they? I don't know. Anyway, there we are. He called his place Peniel because he met with the Lord. Like something to remember. Next one, please. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. How about that? What do you think to that? Do you think it was painful?
No.
I don't think it was.
No.
I don't think it was.
It was
yeah, but it's a reminder. Yeah. What does? I mean, I've drawn him with a walking stick. He did have a staff, actually. He did have a staff. He uses it later on when he's praying as an old man just before he's going to die. He says he leaned on his staff to bless his grandchildren, yeah, and his family. Yeah, but he's got this walking stick, we'll say, yeah. He's limping. The sun rose above him. What does that signify to you? I mean, the sun's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And isn't it interesting how God arranges nature to reinforce the message?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a sad one. It's in John's Gospel. It's all about Judas betraying Jesus. He says, Judas went out and it was night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Darkness was coming. Yeah. But the darkness is going here, sun comes up, and Jacob is limping because of his hip. Now, there's plenty of things you can mention about Jacob's hip, you know. If he went to a healing meeting, would he get fixed?
It wouldn't,
because God's done something for him.
Yeah.
This is his, what you call his war wound.
Yeah.
Yeah? He wears this with pride, his war wound. Yeah, this is when I met God, and that's one of the things. Yeah. But the other is, it's a constant reminder, Jacob, because Jesus said it to us, without me, you can do, and we do it very well. Without me, you can do nothing. Jacob, without me, you can do nothing. That's the limp. He's telling him every time. It's a continual reminder, Jacob, you need me. You can't do it yourself, Jacob. You get the message? Hope so. Right, next one, please. Yes? I'll put this in for you anatomists or whatever it is. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So, the Lord touched it. It's the last tendon thing, as it's called, yeah? Just thought you'd like the picture to let you know where he got touched. Right? They don't eat that. They don't eat humans anyway, but you've got the idea. Next one, please. We'll get rid of that quick, yeah? You've had enough of the anatomy, yeah? What is the significance? Why does Moses, because Moses is writing up Genesis for us, why did Moses mention that the Israelites don't eat the tendon? What's the significance? I'll put it there. You see, one of the remarkable things about the Israelites, the Jewish community, is the ones that remember the feasts and everything else. One of the things about it is that it's not just history. You know, for example, at the Passover, when they celebrate Israel being brought out of Egypt and rescued from Pharaoh and slavery, what do they say? They say, we were slaves in Egypt. we were rescued. It's not just their history, it's our history. And when they read, when they see this, they say, yeah, our ancestor met God. God blessed him and touched him. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? That's worth remembering. So the Israelites do what Jacob did. They make notes of what's happened. God's done it. Yeah. It's a reminder again. God keeps his promises. Next then, please. I think this is it. Yes, it's the last one. Jacob becomes Israel because God got him on his own. Yeah? I mean, Jacob didn't intend to this happening, you know. God had plans. But we need to be alone with the Lord. Maybe there are things in your life now that you need to know God's presence with. You know, make time to be with the Lord. We do it when we read our Bibles or just have a Bible in your head. Be still. Can you be still? We find it hard, don't we? Some of us do. Yeah. I saw a young chap, call him young now, you know, when I see him on the telly, preacher, getting like you, Harold, you see. Yeah. And he was saying about one of the most important things for us at times is just to get on our own with the Lord. Nothing else, no distractions. He says you go through three phases. First of all, you get the twitches. I could do this, I could do that, I could do the other. I'm definitely in the twitch bit. Yeah? And after that, he says, then you get to the boredom bit. How long is this going to last for, Lord? You know? Yeah. Right? And after that, you get through to the solitude. Just being with the Lord. You know Mary, that Mary and Martha, the two sisters?
Yeah.
Martha was the twitchy one.
Yeah.
Doing the pots and pans in the kitchen, cooking the meals, everything else. And young Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, just being with Jesus.
Yeah.
Martha didn't understand it. But Mary knew. Being in the presence. And that's what I'm on about. Times just to be with the Lord. And it's not to depress you, because Jacob is no longer Jacob when he's met the Lord the way he meets him here. He's now Israel. And that's what God can do for you and me, brothers and sisters. I guess there's times when we all need to just be still and know that he is God. You know, that was a verse I read. Jean and I were on honeymoon. We went to the island of Iona. And sitting on the island of Iona, where Christianity first came to Scotland. Yeah, and there's a little seat there. And it was a nice dry day at the time, wasn't it? And sitting on the seat, and there is a text in front with all this beautiful scenery and the sea around us. Be still and know that I am God. And I wasn't a Christian then, really. Yeah. But God spoke. Yeah. And he does. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, you want to know more about being a prince with God, you've got to spend time in the wrestling. Not always wrestling, of course, but sometimes God has to do that with us. Eh? Right, we're going to stop there. And I'd just like us to be still for a minute. Just a practice run for us. Eh? And just let the Lord bubble up things in your heart, if that's the case. Don't think about what you've got to do next. Just be still before him. Just for a minute. Lord Jesus, you know every single one of us here in this room. Lord, there's nothing hidden from you, Lord. So there's no surprises when we tell you things that are in our hearts, Lord. I bless you, Lord, that although you know everything about us, Lord, you love us. That's so amazing. Oh Lord, thank you that you were willing to die to take away our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you're a risen, living Lord to come into our hearts and our lives, to live with us, to empower us, to guide us, to strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, for being all that you are. And Lord, we pray, and I pray, Lord, help me to find time for you in the busy actions of life, Lord. May I not slip into Jacob mode, but Lord, to pray, to ask you to help, not last of all, but first of all, Lord. And Lord, thank you, you promised to be the helper that we need. Oh Lord, thank you for your amazing love. Come into our lives, fill us with your spirit. Enable us, Lord, to be Israel's, no longer Jacob's, Lord. Different people, because we've met with the living Lord. Thank you, Lord, we know your name now. It's no stranger. Your name is Jesus. And we bless you, Lord. Jesus, call his name Jesus, he'll save his people from their sins. Lord, nobody else can. We can't save ourselves, Lord, but you can. And we thank you for it. Lord, bless us and minister in our lives. And help us, Lord, as a result of meeting with you, that we can be a blessing to others as well, Lord. It's not just about us, Lord, that we can be channels of your peace. Grant us your mercies, Lord. Father, we ask it. Father, we ask it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.